immediately scattered. And it was interesting for me that we walked in, and then we said a prayer. I remember it vividly, a long prayer at the Hatfields. And Jerry now had come, and Rick had come and then gone back up. Mm-hmm. But Jerry was down now. And we said a very long prayer where the senator was asking the Lord for strength, for clarity of mind, and to be faithful, and that God would be with us during this trial. It was a beautiful prayer. And then, I don't remember, he didn't pray it, but anyway, the prayer was said. And then we went upstairs, and came off the elevator, and it was a scene just unbelievable. The place was jam-packed with reporters. The line was jam-packed. As soon as we get off the elevator, all the way up, he goes up, and then he gave his statement, and he was shaking, and he had little cards that he was going to speak from, but it wasn't a completed statement. He had an outline, and he was going to go to the map of the Persian Gulf and explain the pipeline and the whole bit. And it was just a vintage Mark Hatfield day. He just came out there and told it like it was. Mm-hmm. And then Miss Hatfield came to the podium. I'll never forget that. The two of them, as he approached, and as she approached him at the podium, and they kissed. It was the most beautiful thing. It broke me up. I thought the sadness of seeing how their lives had been pushed to this point by a bunch of cowardly accusers. Mm-hmm. To where here they were in public, in a sense, being humiliated like this. Mm-hmm. It was really a sad thing. That was my perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, other people would say, hey, this is public life and all. But people did not understand the punishment the Hatfields had taken for 3 weeks, and the humiliation from the press. And when the charges on all counts were ultimately all rebutted, it was really a very sad thing, and that kiss to me symbolized it all. That here they are in public in front of 500 cameras doing all this. Anyhow, after that press conference, we had been very happy with how it went and felt, well, this is great. So, but that's where the events that led up, because after the press conference, and then we had a meeting with the editorial board of the Oregonian that afternoon in the hotel. After that, then things just got better. They finally had come out and told their story, and what they said was the truth, and none of the stuff was rebutted, and ultimately the Ethics Committee absolved them, and ultimately the Justice Department absolved them. And there was a feeling that maybe he overpaid her for the work she had done, but what his intentions were wasn't something we could read. And whether she felt overpaid or not, she was having a very successful real estate year, and she had done a lot of time with them. So, and she had done a lot of work for them. I'm not a judge of what's valid money remuneration for those services, but she clearly had done a ton of work, and the charges in the press were just plain lies. But it showed there not only his faith. Many times during this period, he would read the Bible. Father Nouwen sent him a long letter, which meant a great deal to him. He read it many times during this trial. And we prayed a lot together.
Who did the staff work on the Tsakos project before?
The little bit that was done had been done by Gary. Gary Barber.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And Gary, were no red flags at that point that you know of?
No, the work that Gary did was so little. It was to prepare one letter, which wasn't much of a letter, just saying, I like the concept. The whole thing wasn't the Basil Sacco's pipeline. Mm-hmm. The senator's endorsement was of the concept of a pipeline. Mm-hmm. And it was very clearly stated in the letter. What the Post and everyone tried to link was the fact that the timing of this letter's execution was right around when a payment was being made. Mm-hmm. My own sense is, clearly, Basil Sacos was up to no good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's probably true. He was probably trying to, he probably didn't understand how the U.S. government worked, and, you know, he figured, hey, any important person I can get in support of the pipeline, great. What he didn't understand was the Senate had nothing to do with the pipeline, number one. Number two, in his country, what passes for political influence peddling isn't the U.S. And the senator didn't know about the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't know the checks and when they came and their amounts.
Uh-huh.
And I know that for a fact because I talked with him
uh-huh.
when it first came up. He had no idea.
He didn't know that this money was being received.
And Ms. Hatfield had done a tremendous amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
And that senator wasn't privy to what the relationship was between Hatfield, Mrs. Hatfield and Sakas.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that there was a client relationship, and she was doing a lot of work. He didn't know what she was doing, and so when that kind of situation, you know, what's a senator to do?
Yeah, your impression is that Antoinette Hatfield was a business person in a pretty independent way.
Very much uh-huh. so. And has to be that way. Uh-huh. And, you know, the irony of it is the way ultimately what helped us get off the ropes after the press conference was that our story got swallowed by the Geraldine Ferraro, John mm-hmm. Sicaro story of him with all of his shady business dealings mm-hmm. and slum houses and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But that became such a big issue that it swallowed all our story. And the question, of course, was on
mm-hmm.
what right does a spouse have of a politician principal
mm-hmm.
to engage in business? What business can they do where their business is sufficiently distant from anything that their husband or wife does in politics, you know, that this is safe and it's not influenced mm-hmm. or conflict or shady or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue. It still hasn't been answered.
Yeah, it's such an area of great danger that in retrospect, was there a feeling in staff and by the Hatfields that this may have been a major part of the mistake, that they weren't alert to watching, you know, possible connections between a political approach or a lobby approach and some private business.
Absolutely.
It just seems like a really...
Yeah. He admitted that in the press conference. He said that he had been insensitive to this appearance of impropriety, and that when he realized that she was doing business mm-hmm. with Sakas, he was so committed to the pipeline that he would have asked her to mm-hmm. recuse herself from any representation of him, that was a mistake, mm-hmm. an error in judgment, and he admitted it. And then she gave back all the money, and which really was unfair because she had done a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And to think she did all that work for free mm-hmm. is kind of ridiculous, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
was anybody citing the example of Mendelbaum of Indiana, Mendenbaum of Indiana, who several months before returned a sum of money that had come on?
Oh, Metzenbaum.
Metzenbaum.
Of
right?
Ohio, yeah.
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 Antoinette Hatfield, in the earlier, you may not know that much about this, so may not be able to comment, but in earlier years, you hear the senator talking about his wife and their relationship and so forth, and what their family, how their family works and so forth. And in those times, there was an expression of satisfaction with the wife being in the home, and of course with the children, which is a really pretty credible argument, and so forth. But from what you know of the Hatfields, is there a kind of a change in which Antoinette, in their family life, becomes more of an independent person, begins to move out of the home, out of the domestic role?
Yeah, I think it was a function of the children growing up. It was a function of the changing role of women in society, and it was a function of Miss Hatfield adapting to new circumstances. That when she arrived in Washington and her kids were all well on the way, she has a master's degree from Stanford. She's a very qualified person, and she decided to embark upon a career, and she's a very aggressive person, very confident, very generous person, and so I think it was a natural thing for her to do. Especially when your children get to be the age where they're on their own and they're mm-hmm. going into college or late years of high school, it's time to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what happened.
About when did Antoinette begin to develop this career, or do you know?
Well, I think it happened at the beginning of 1980s, mm-hmm. right around there, but I don't know enough about, I only know that since I worked there, she was involved with real estate, and this really picked up steam in 82 and 83.
Yeah.
This Sockers thing nearly killed her.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Professionally, mm-hmm. You couldn't ask for something worse than this. Mm-hmm. Who would want to have Miss Hatfield as a real estate agent after being attacked in the press like this?
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years, she was out of business. I mean, the financial aid exacted a tremendous price from her. It ruined her business, and it really hurt her emotionally. I said that Senator Hatfield is thin-skinned. Miss Hatfield is even more so.
Mm-hmm.
She bruises very easily. She's intensely loyal to her friends. This was proven certainly through the Sockers matter. She's intensely loyal, and she's also so sensitive that this really hurt her. People in Oregon sometimes will characterize Ms. Hatfield, well, she's real tough, or she's very aggressive, outspoken, and
mm-hmm.
you know, she's controversial at some quarters in Oregon. I've sensed that when I was out there. They don't understand that she was very sensitive and is very sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and that this really hurt her and him. That's the untold story that never came out. People have no idea how injured they were by this and how it changed their lives. They moved from their house in Georgetown, from the Capitol Hill townhouse, and they have a little one-bedroom apartment. They sold the condo in Portland. They've so simplified their lives by a factor, I'd say, of four from what they were living before Sockers. A very simple life, simple homes. They just are going to the simple pleasures, too, staying at home with each other, not getting into the garden. He's become a very avid gardener since then, an avid tree farmer. Many things that had a fundamental change, and on his faith too, I think it deepened his faith that these kind of persecutions come. I think he knows he made mistakes. It's not like he was just completely without fault in this. He knows he made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We all look back in retrospect, want to change things.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, it was a painful thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, difficulties, questions of finances had occurred in a number of times before, and perhaps not uncharacteristically for a politician. One of the person usually connected with them, and I'm going back to the campaign of 1966, you may have heard of this at the time, but there was a donation of $1,000 from radio station KISN, or from a man who owned a series of radio stations, including that one. But the man who was unearthing this was Jack Anderson. Now, I don't know what the incidence of Jack Anderson's picking on Mark Hatfield is, but was there a sense of Jack Anderson as a kind of a personal scourge, or
mm-hmm.
of his being a personal factor in this?
Sure. The reporter that Jack Anderson sent up to deal with us on this matter was just a real unpleasant fellow. And Jack Anderson, but I mean, we dismissed Jack Anderson. I mean, his stuff appears on comics pages in most papers. He's just a rag sheet writer. And Furneaux was the person pumping him with all this information and orchestrating all the other Sockers employees to read their party lines about Sockers. And Jack Anderson could care less a lot of times about the truth. His whole business is sensational journalism. Whether he has a personal axe to grudge to beat Senator Hatfield, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly we felt that this was very much a personal attack. He ended up doing four pieces on this. The last one was almost ludicrous. It was so pathetic. But anyhow, Jack Anderson around here, no one respects him. He's not a respected journalist here. But out in the hinterlands, a lot of people like him because he writes stuff they want to read.
Mm-hmm.
They want to read things, and they want to definitely see the crap on politicians slung on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do it.
I still don't understand Robert Furneaux's relationship.
He was a Sacco's employee.
What he was up to.
I would say it was of a six slice piece of pie. It was four parts vengeance for a business deal that soured, where he had been a partner with Sacco's on this pipeline, had worked with him very closely. And then the business deal started to go under, and he didn't make all the money he thought he made, and so he turned on this guy. I'd say it was one part him covering his own butt because he did some very unethical and unlawful things in dealing with this pipeline. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was one part trying to get Sacco's in so much trouble that he would never come back to the U.S. Because he fears for his own life. True.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that. And I think he feels that way. Mm-hmm. He never would meet with me. Mm-hmm. He met with John Neils, but he refused to see me. And he was kind of a cowardly sort of fella. Just the way he acted, the way he worked, very secretively. His wife worked for Senator Quayle, and I knew people who knew him, and so I got a profile of the guy. I went and investigated this mm-hmm. a lot and found out more about this person because he was a source of all these stories. Mm-hmm. He was the one that was getting to Anderson and everybody, and then he was fanning it. Mm-hmm. He's telling the FBI these stories, and ultimately the FBI dropped him because they realized all of his material was bad. Mm-hmm. But he had him interested for a while, mm-hmm. and that was a problem for us.
What was Faye Johnson's part in this, and what were her motives?
Faye was a friend of Bob Furneaux's, and she knew him before she worked on our staff. Faye is, at that time, and I have to distinguish because the most beautiful thing happened about 2 years ago when Faye had a complete religious conversion, baptized, and I've seen her several times since. She is a completely different person. Delightful, generous, loving. Prior to that, her life was tough. She had gone through a painful divorce. She had started in our office in a minor role and then was put on as a legislative assistant. But she never really hit it off well with Senator Hatfield, and so she just was kind of... So to create intrigue in her life, she was... And I never quite figured out Faye. She also had all these security clearances, and I never could figure out if she had her hands in intelligence stuff or all those circles. I know nothing about intelligence mm-hmm. situations. Senators never had us go get the security clearance, and we've never wanted them because they can then compromise you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the minute you get the clearance, they give you all sorts of information and dare you to say a word of it because then you're leaking classified information. Better never to have the clearance so you can't be accused of having it. Mm-hmm. But Faye had that clearance, and she was hanging in strange circles, but she and Furneaux were friends, and he was the one telling her about the story, and her role was very unclear. Mm-hmm. I think in her attempts to try to help, she really hurt us.
Oh, so she didn't have a clear idea of how much damage would be done or mm-hmm. to Hatfield? Mm-hmm.
She was dealing with a guy who was trying to lend her to make her believe, look, I'm trying to help you and get the Anderson people off your senator's back. You know, what is his relationship with Basil Sacco's? What has he done on this project? Well, Faye was not in the inner circle, but Faye, to try to kind of puff herself up to appear like she was on it, would make statements. Well, I was in the meeting buddies, very committed on this and that, and this and that. Well, Furneaux, who was playing good cop with Faye, would then go to his reporters and all, and use it for his own agenda, which, as I said, was to discredit Sacco's by using mm-hmm. Senator Hatfield to exact vengeance and to clear himself legally because he was worried he'd be in trouble for a systematic scheme to bribe government officials.
Mm-hmm. When did the staff find out about what she was doing?
When did I?
No, the staff in general, you, Jerry, or Hatfield, or...
Well, we knew all along because she also was telling us, I've been talking with a reporter, she would never identify him, and she was always this way. You'd have to know Faye. I know it sounds strange to you. You'd have to know Faye. She's very secretive, she made me uncomfortable before. Now I love her. She's wonderful. And I didn't dislike her then. It's just I was very uncomfortable mm-hmm. around her. A lot of awkward conversation, but... She was saying, I know of this story, it's coming out, and she was the one who was telling us, she was giving us the heads up it was coming. What she didn't know was that Furneaux was the person spiking the punch bowl. Mm-hmm. She thought he was just sitting there serving the drinks.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But she was still on the staff.
Yeah. At that time. And they didn't fire her or anything mm-hmm. like that. She's now in Beirut uh-huh. as a foreign service officer, mm-hmm. working on the anti-terrorism job. That's Faye.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
In Beirut. Wow. Imagine being an American in Beirut. Like to live that life?
Yeah, that sounds pretty rough. Not sure I would care for that. No, the person who figures in this is Ted Stevens, and mm-hmm. Who has helped to wind things up. What was his relationship with Hatfield? Were they pretty close?
I think pretty good, because mm-hmm. and one of the things that they shared is Ted Stevens isn't really a fan of the press. Mm-hmm. And there's a good relationship there, friends, but they're not real close or anything. Their wives aren't mm-hmm. close. They're not mm-hmm. socially all that. But there was a respect there, and he really believed early on that Senator Hatfield was getting railroaded. Mm-hmm. But he had his committee do everything. The senator and Ms. Hatfield both appeared in deposition before the committee to give statements. And they did it thoroughly, but his point was, if there's nothing to it, I'm going to wrap it up quickly. I'm not going to let them politicize this thing 2 months before his election. Mm-hmm. And the Democratic side, Heflin, was the opposite. He's the slow-moving judge. Let's don't rush into it. Let's take our time. Mm-hmm. So
he was playing politics in the other way.
I think Heflin was being just very thorough and trying to be apolitical, which was being political, but I don't think he intended it to be that way. By being apolitical, meaning, look, I don't care if there's elections in 2 months. We're going to go about this way very thoroughly and systematically. But by taking so long, of course, it was playing perfectly into the hands of the senator's opponent. But Stevens was helpful in that he was amenable to moving quickly on this, which was our desire. Have the full hearing. Geddes will complete statements. We turned over all our files before they asked for it. We were completely available, but please get the committee to meet, look at the evidence, interview your people, and make a decision. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And that came out around September 19th, I think.
One last thing. I'm trying to remember how the Tsakos plan was set up. The pipeline was across Africa,
uh-huh.
and it would carry oil from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's right.
But how would it bypass the Gulf?
Well, the Gulf goes. Wish we had a map here.
Yeah, that's.
The Gulf goes further out. It's right there in the Gulf of Sidra, mm-hmm. right there. That it would come right there. Into short vessels to get it into the pipeline, or they would pump it directly into the pipeline. Mm-hmm. It works, believe me. I wish you hadn't met.
All right. So it was Saudi Arabian oil.
Well, all Middle Eastern.
But
oil.
All Middle Eastern.
Yeah,
oil.
But certainly Saudi Arabia was the uh-huh. closest point. But it would feed the whole place, without going out to that bottleneck area right there
Hormuz.
At the Gulf. Yeah, at the Straits uh-huh. of Hormuz, right.
So, but Iranian oil. How would Iranian oil get out?
No Iranian.
Oh, no.
Well, I guess Iranian oil, though, has to go through that same Gulf, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it has to go through.
Yeah.
Almost in any
but
case.
We weren't looking at that so much as uh-huh. just a secure route so that someone couldn't do what almost just happened in the Persian uh-huh. Gulf, where yeah. firepower and blow up all the movements of oil out through the Gulf if you mm-hmm. could have a pipeline. And so they were going to bring it across 3 African countries and get it out.
Was there a feeling, we'll have to ask Gary Barber this, too, was there a feeling that it had much of a chance of succeeding, or that it was a very viable plan?
Architecturally, we had experts say it could be done. Mm-hmm. Tsakos's people had gotten agreements from the African on the rights mm-hmm. on getting across their countries. And
yeah,
all.
That's another factor.
Yeah, they had it.
Instability in Africa.
But it really brings in all the oil mm-hmm. politics.
Yeah.
All of the people and the intelligence and. But so to answer your question, did I think it? No. Uh-huh. It was such an ambitious project by a bunch of outsiders. And uh-huh. But look at what Mises in trouble for right now. Uh-huh. Oil pipeline.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. There's another scheme. I somehow forgotten that.
And this was contemporaneous, by the way. This was in 84, right when the story broke.
Oh, is that right?
And I've always wondered whether there was any kind of linkage here.
I wanted to ask you a kind of a general question. How do wives play a role in the politics, and in particular Antoinette, in the politics as close to their husbands and so forth, and their relations among themselves as wives of senators and congressmen in general? How does that work, and how did Antoinette fit into, what was her role?
In general?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not on the pipeline now, we're talking just
no,
in general.
No, we're talking in general.
Good.
Yes.
I think it varies, of course, for each couple. I think that one of the sad things about political life is that you associate with people who aren't of your own choosing. It's not like your life or my life where we kind of choose our friends and who we're going to hang out with and who we're going to have dinner parties with and who we're going to be invited to parties. And there's a certain element of voluntariness, or it's complete from my perspective. I'm not obliged to go, you know, and I'm not going to be invited because I work, you know, my friend will invite me to dinner, but not because I work for Senator Hatfield. Whereas politicians find themselves at dinner parties of all of public officials and prominent people. Might be an Arm and Hammer reception here, might be Senator so-and-so's dinner here, might be a dinner for Senate, you know, so that they're kind of, it's like this priest once told me that was one of the sacrifices of his life, is he lived with people not of his own choosing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true with political life, that these people associate with people who aren't of their own choosing, and therefore they have their own friends, but a heck of a lot of their social life is spent as an extension of their husbands or what, whoever the political principal is, that person's life. It's an extension of that, because a heck of a lot of their social life is driven by that fact that they're in public office. And a spouse then can become a great mooring or an anchor for the person and a real support, so that that's that, but this is you and me. And I knew you before you were any of this, and this is our life together. And the Senator, Ms. Hatfield, from the very first time I met her and him together, it was so evident they were in love with each other and so happy together, and that they almost looked at each other as each other's life raft and the turbulent Washington life that a lot of people get sucked into here, that they had each other to turn to. That even if they had to be politic with every person who walked in the office, if they wanted to yell, they could yell at each other. If they wanted to, you know, to come and hug someone or be silly or do anything, they can do it with each other. And that Ms. Hatfield has always been not only his wife, but his best friend. And so what influence did she have? Her primary influence is on his disposition. And it gives him you know, he's happy when he comes to the office. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to deal with problems with a marriage that so many senators face, mm-hmm. that while they're trying to do their business and conduct their lives, they also happen to have a wife who detests the fact they're in public office, wants them to leave, mm-hmm. or may want to leave him or what have you. Yeah. He doesn't have to face that. So she's had that influence. Now, they don't seem to talk too much about politics, and I know they have a lot of differences of opinion on politics. And I think he would not want a wife who is politically active. Mm-hmm. I think it would drive him nuts.
Mm-hmm. I guess that was my next question. In what ways have you noticed that perhaps she's party to his politics, some of his particular ideas and things rather that he's pursuing and so forth?
I get a sense almost that she has just stayed out of that completely. And I learned that during SACOS a good bit, because the question arose, well, how much do you talk about your business, Ms. Hatfield? And she said, well, I don't, and he doesn't talk about his. We disagree on a lot of things. And then they were talking about the things they disagree on. I think she's pro-choice. I think she's, but she's very private about that. But so they just don't, I don't think there's any discussion whatsoever about that stuff. I think that it, to them, it would contaminate their relationship, because the strength of their relationship.